Here's Pastor Brian as he begins a new study on church history.
Welcome to the program today, and all this week we're going to be looking at the subject of church history, and we're going to be focusing on the 4th and 5th century of the main people that were alive and influencing the church doctrinally, as well as the false doctrines that crept into the church. And that pertains to the 300s and the 400s during the time that the church was hammering out some of its doctrine. And primarily this time in history related to the subject of Christ, who he was in relationship to his deity, as well as proving the fact that Jesus Christ was both man and God. There were bishops in the church that were teaching things contrary to the scripture, so the church had to gather together in what is called councils and write two different creeds on these subjects. And I want to start today in the scriptures by looking at John 17 and verse 3. It says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And so we see here the scripture relates eternal life to knowing God and Jesus Christ. So if you have a distorted viewpoint on who Christ is, then you truly do not have eternal life. And so this passage of scripture is so important, especially in relationship to this time in church history where they were debating as to the nature of Christ, as to his deity, as well as his humanity. And if we do not have the proper Christ, we do not have a proper salvation. Remember that Paul did say that there will be those that will come and preach another gospel. They'll also bring another spirit, and they will also bring another Jesus. And in Galatians, in the first chapter, he said, "Let them be accursed who would preach any other gospel than the one that he brought to them." So it's extremely important to know who Christ is, to know him accurately, and to be precise on the subject. Also, the same writer in his shorter letters at the end of the Bible in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, in relating to the humanity of Christ, he says this: "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard as was coming and is now already in the world." So in that time when John was writing to these believers, they affirmed the deity of Christ, but what the test for true doctrine was, did a teacher or a group or an individual also affirm the fact that Jesus Christ was fully man? And that's why he says, test the spirits. Now, testing the spirits doesn't only relate to knowing if this spirit or individual or teacher confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. There's many people that will teach that, but yet on the other hand, they'll deny the deity of Christ. So we have to put this in the setting. This group of people were affirming the deity of Christ, but yet they were denying the humanity of Christ. And you may say, well, what's the big deal about that? So someone was off a little bit doctrinally. Well, the scriptures are clear. John says that if you do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that person or spirit or individual or teacher is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. So John very strongly affirms that if you do not teach properly on the humanity of Christ, you are going along with the spirit of Antichrist. And he repeats the same thing in 2 John, the little epistle there, 2 John, verse 7. "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." So if you do not have the proper understanding of who Jesus Christ is, and even in relationship to his humanity, it says you do not have the right gospel, you do not have the right Christ, you're a deceiver, you're an antichrist, and you have a false message. So doctrine is extremely important. To know Christ, the one that God has sent, is to have eternal life. To know him in a different way than the Bible reveals him is not the true eternal life that the Bible describes. And for example, there's a group today that is trying to find acceptance, or at least in some places, other churches are accepting. That's the United Pentecostal Church. They believe that God the Father transformed himself into the Son, and then the Son transformed himself into the Spirit. And they teach that there is one God, but there's not three distinct persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In another program, we will look at that subject. That's not the Christ of the Bible. That is not the eternal life that John speaks about. That's deception, and it's false. So we need to make sure that we are accurate as to the subject of the deity of Christ as well as the humanity of Christ. And that's what the church was battling during the 4th and 5th century in relationship to the deity of Christ, there was a bishop in the church, a man by the name of Arius, who began to teach that Jesus Christ was not truly God. He was a created being of God. And he looked at those scriptures where, for example, Jesus himself said, the Father is greater than I. Also, the phrase that he's the only begotten of the Father. He looked at that and said he must be the first one of importance that was created sometime before the world began, and that he is not the eternal God. So the church had to gather together, and in 325, they wrote out a creed defending the deity of Christ called the Nicene Creed, an important creed in the life of the church, because they wanted to gather together and write one last statement affirming the deity of Christ, so they wouldn't have to gather together year after year, or every time another teacher came in, they could say, this is what the church holds to. And if you don't hold to this, you're not holding to biblical theology, and you do not have the right gospel. Well, later on, there were some more teachers in the church, three of them, which we'll eventually look at, began to teach unusual ideas about the humanity of Christ, basically denying his true humanity, that his humanity was not like ours. And so they had to battle it out. And in 451, the church gathered together and wrote out what is called the Creed of Chalcedon, focusing on the humanity of Christ, getting it down to a detail to show that Christ was fully human and fully God. So it's a rich time in the history of the church. And if you'd like a brief introduction on this time period, if you're just starting out in the area of church history, there's a man by the name of Bruce Shelley that wrote a book, Church History in Plain Language. If you want something a little beefier, Schaff's works would be the one to invest in and to use for your own personal study. The rest of the time we have left on our program today, I want to just introduce you to some of the names that we'll be looking at that were teachers in the church that held up orthodoxy in the 4th and 5th century. At that point, the church was divided primarily into the East and to the West, where there was a stronghold of Christianity in the East, in Egypt, and in the West, in North Africa. Also, in Asia Minor and Syria, there was also another stronghold of Christianity where great teachers came from. And in the East, the primary teacher was a man by the name of Athanasius, and he lived from 293 to 373, and he was the bishop of Alexandria, Egypt. And at this time in the church, it's very clear that the structure of the church is that there were bishops that presided over several congregations, and they exercised a degree of authority over the local churches. Athanasius was such a man, and he was the main spokesman at the Council of Nicaea in 325 and was the main opponent of Arius. He helped write the creed to hammer out the deity of Christ. Another individual during this time was a man by the name of Cyril of Alexandria, and he lived from 376 to 444. And he is the one that hammered out the doctrine of the person of Christ. And he refuted the false doctrines about Christ's nature in relationship to his humanity that a church leader by the name of Nestorius brought into the church. In the West, in North Africa, Jerome is one of the leaders of the church, and he lived from 345 to about 420. And he wrote many commentaries in almost all the books of the Bible, so even commentaries were around at that point. And one of the things that he is most known for is that he did extensive work on the original manuscripts. We call that textual criticism today. He strongly believed that the originals were without error, and he was trying to look at the copies that were in existence and tried to get back to the closest to the original documents as possible. And what he produced was the Latin Vulgate. Another individual in Milan, Italy, is by the name of Ambrose. He influenced the church from 374 to 397, and he wrote several commentaries, but he is most known for the music that he wrote for the church. At that point, what was beginning to happen, the church was beginning to be a little more ritualistic. They had more of a liturgy and choirs, and the people had very little response in the church. So he began to write songs that the congregation could actually sing, and worship was now beginning to take a revival in the church. It is so interesting to me that as I study church history, the things that were happening in the past are also the things that are happening in the church today. The church did go through a time period where it was a little more liturgical. It was a little more of choirs and not really true worship that was taking place from the hearts of the people. And there's been a revival in that area as well. And it's said that St. Augustine actually visited his church, and his response is that he was overcome with emotion from the singing in the congregation of Ambrose's fellowship. The next individual, also from the north, was Augustine. He lived from 354 to 430. He was the bishop of Hippo in North Africa. And this man was the preeminent theologian of his era, or possibly even of all time. He truly influenced the church, not only in his lifetime, but also in generations to come. His doctrine on grace in relation to salvation causes him to be the forerunner to the Reformation. The teachers of the Reformation era looked to Augustine and his writings to prove the doctrine of salvation by grace alone through faith. Martin Luther, in his commentary in the book of Romans, quotes Augustine over 100 times in that commentary alone. So the strong influence in the aspect of salvation. Also, his doctrine on man's corrupt nature or sinfulness, as well as his discussions on predestination, is the one that influenced Calvinism that came later. Also, his doctrine on the millennium. And he believed that the millennium was the time between the first and second coming of Christ, which we call that today amillennialism. So he was the one that began to write on these subjects, which began to influence the church for many years to come. So just from this short survey, we could see that he was a man that greatly influenced the theology of the church, as we'll get to later on during the week. He had an opponent by the name of Pelagius who basically taught that man is basically good and does not possess a sin nature. And as we begin our study tomorrow, we'll be looking at how the church had to defend the deity of Jesus Christ against the doctrine of Arius, who denied that Christ was truly God.